Yeah. Punctual Laura Bell. Okay. This is Sunday afternoon in Sedona, July 18th, part two.
Can I interrupt part two?
Oh, sure. Right before the break, Laura Bell was talking about how it will appear that the infinity, the newness, the never-beforeness of presence will maybe be put into words in ways that we haven't had ways to articulate it before. And that certainly is what seems to be happening. And, you know, you read all these books that are available now that weren't available 5 years ago, 10 years ago, on spirituality and non-duality and so on, that certainly appears to be the case. One thing that Mark was talking about it a lot this morning, about that rightly so, always is sort of acknowledged in terms of the limitations of words, is that at best they can only point to truth, the ineffable, the inexpressible. This, as we were saying before the break, if it hasn't even existed before now, what the heck is there that could be said about it or described about it? There's nothing has happened yet to talk about. That's how concept busting your own presence is, really, and how really ingraspable. And it does not want to be grasped. You know, the mind has a notion, well, this should be grasped. But beingness doesn't want to be grasped. And that's the one who's conscious. So, you know, anytime there's a frustration over, can't get it, no. Yay, that's perfect. You're right on. Because you don't want to be grasped. You do not want to be grasped. You really don't. Now, a while back, this thought came a while back. Ha, that's a joke. If you were to, say, write a book, there's so many books coming out there, and it was the last use of words when it comes to presence or spirit. The last use, not to limit it, but let's just say, for sake of discussion, it were the last book to be written that would put you so there where actually you already are and never have not been, but that it would be something that would be read, that there would be a genuine, let's say, beingness or presence or satisfaction. I don't want another book. I don't need them. I don't need to listen to another CD. Not that there's anything wrong, but in other words, the fullness of life and self is so full. I mean, is self having to read books about itself? It's kind of silly. But what could be said if there were such a book that would be that impactful, that powerful? In other words, the last word in words. How do you... It's like, as long as one continues to use words, by their very use and thoughts, you're inviting the intellect, you're inviting the mind. You need it, seemingly, to work on that level, so to speak.
It's the same thing as inventors.
As in?
Inventors. Guys who invent. You invent some new whatever. You don't have any language or anything to go with it because it's brand new. He has discovered that when he put 2 + 4 something here, it will equal something over here that we never talked about, never knew about, never brought up. So we're dealing with the same principle.
Yeah.
With what your speech is all about.
You almost... It's so new, you don't know how to deal with it.
Right, you don't have any words for it. You don't have a dictionary.
It's not in the dictionary,
it's not
right.
In the dictionary.
Right.
So,
good point.
He's got you got to go from such very beginnings until it really does sound like it complicates things.
What if they're useless? What if words are useless? What if we're talking about specifics and we are non-specific? Twice removed from reality.
Yeah. That's right.
The last book in itself would be a thought concept, pretty much
right.
An ego.
Right, right. That's right. It would be. Yeah. Okay. So even this is not perfect, but I've been, not to make it personal, but I've been sort of lately working along this line. And awareness itself, presence itself, clearly is not a word about presence. It's now, if one doesn't want to use words anymore, and this sounds like there's still some progressing going on, but if one wants to enjoy oneself totally apart from words, what can one do?
Use sign language.
So to speak. We talk about stillness and silence, and they're right there. And even the notion that there should be something deeper or beyond, that's a thought. You know, that simple, the simple ease of now is not enough. According to who? Now's now is enough for now itself. And who else is present, really? It's enough for now to be just now. That's all. Not going anywhere. Didn't come from anywhere. And right in that territory, which is not conceptual, but I have to use this word, it's like a quote-unquote feeling. As we were saying at the very beginning, presence or awareness itself is not anything material, weighty. It is not weighty. It is the absence of weight. And again, what is that right here, right now? That, as we said, how much does awareness weigh to pure awareness? No concepts here. I'm not sure I understand you. Say it again.
It seems like mankind, in this quote-unquote lengthy thought process, that it thinks might encompass presence or whatever that dance is, we're asking the one thing, which is our brains, which can't give us an answer. So the greatest writers, the greatest musicians, the greatest painters, clump them all together, the greatest pointers. The difference between those that try and describe it and those that point to something else, the difference in that thought is it's telling you, don't ask what you think you know. Go outside the dream. Because that's, Jesus was saying, come on to me. You're in a dream. So don't ask the one thing that doesn't know. I can sit here and ask anyone in this room, what is it? We, by virtue of the thought that we're all in this room, we don't know. But presence, which is fresh and new, but can't be defined by words, it would never, it's so, the magnitude is so great, it knows nothing of this dream. It doesn't even know we're here.
Yeah.
But we're so convinced, and we love form. We love specifics. So if I don't know, I go, why don't you know? Why don't you know? And it bounces, it's like atoms bouncing off each other. But it never gets an answer till it recognizes it doesn't know.
That's right.
And then what's the first thing it does when it recognizes that it doesn't know? Then the first move is what?
It can attack or it can surrender.
Yeah, this is true.
It can attack and be very pissed off that it doesn't know.
Or
it can surrender and come to the conclusion it doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And be merciful and compassionate around that because it thought it did.
Yeah, right. Right. And
I like to use Sunday school stories to describe it for myself. I see that at the Tower of Babel, we agreed to use language as a tool to lose that awareness of reality. And in order to act out the parable of the prodigal son leaving home so that we can return. So language is the tool that we use to lose that awareness.
Mm, yeah. Was it the letter killeth and the only the spirit is life or giveth life? Yeah. It's almost when you're not dealing with the level of words, but say, you know, and even to some degree, it's still trying to even when there's no attempt whatsoever to know, it's as if there's this gently alive stuff. And these are dualistic words, but I can't find any that are any better. But it's a softness. It's certainly not material, or physical, and it's not really a softness that is an opposite of hardness, but it's the absence of materiality or even mentality or mental density or energetic. Energy can get real dense. And it's not, it's that which is, you know, not that. But then you can't. But it never fails to be, won't shut off.
That's when it's time to get together with the inventor. He's inventing something. He's going where you're describing nothing as being. But he's got to go there because if he's going to make this whatever, he's got to put a language around it. He's got to put around it what has never been before because the thing has never been made before in this reality.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep all of that in mind and we'll come up with some answers.
Yeah. 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 Because you can't limit intelligence. You know, we call it intelligence, which is not in any way meant to be a human mind,
right.
You know, or intellect.
Right.
But
a lot of information sailing around out there that we have yet to come to and use.
Yeah.
It's a lot of. It's like with the oil thing that the guys are trying, those scientists are trying so hard to get their minds around. They've just had all kinds of trouble with it.
Sure did.
Many of them, they had not been there before.
Yeah.
They didn't have the language. They didn't have the...
techniques.
Right.
Or the, yeah.
That's it. So they just had to keep trying and keep making language as they go and keep trying until they have gotten had about 24 hours of, you know, getting this thing stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to hold.
Mm-hmm.
Just goes to prove one thing, Peter. We've got a lot of learning.
Ah, yeah.
A lot of
well,
learning.
You know, along that line, too, sometimes people ask, okay, this never-beforeness stuff, this infinite stuff, this pure presence stuff, it sounds intriguing, but how is it practical? How does it work in what still appears to be my everyday experience? I still got a body, I got to feed it, I got to go to work, or I got to do this, that, or the other thing. And as we all know, consciousness or beingness,
Timothy?
Presence.
Timothy?
Hold on. Yeah, just to finish up this point about how is this practical in what still, you know, appears to be my relative experience that I have to deal with. And we all know consciousness, it's not a we really, but self-presence is infinite. It's unlimited. It's patternless. Restrictionless. Even can't be restricted to Peter's thoughts about it. A lot of times we think that I'm only going to be as infinite as I am able to think what infinity is. And maybe if you're but that's really just one is functioning on the level of thought. You're still identified with thought and the mind trying to expand itself, trying to grow itself. But as pure unthinking presence. That's what infinity is. That is infinity. And it seems at the so-called present moment that we, you know, tend to go, we're always, presence is the real self here. Unlimitedness is the real self here, always. It doesn't go away. It doesn't get lost sight. It doesn't vacate because it can't. It's all. It can't. All can't vacate its allness. There's nowhere besides all that all could go. It's undimensional. It's infinite, boundless. It doesn't come and go. And what it seems that the personal, the finite, the limited, kind of washes up on the shore of this unlimitedness periodically, kind of in waves, as me, as the me, the personal me. And, you know, sometimes it's there's a lot of it, and other times there's less of it. That's what we, most of us, seem to go through a lot now on a day-to-day basis. And where this becomes practical, it only in the finite, on the level of thought and sensations and emotions, that's the only place you find limitation and patterns, restrictions, and so on. And as pure presence, stillness, never-beforeness, there are no limitations. And one cannot simultaneously be busy, so to speak, as infinite presence and simultaneously be experiencing finite limitations. Really. You can't do it. When we're still and abiding as, so to speak, presence, the mental chatter isn't going on. And, you know, this is another thing to be alert to, though, is we'll say, okay, I'm in presence. It's this ease of being. It's unlimited. But my finite world is out there with all these restrictions and limitations waiting for my attention to go back to it. And that's not really true. Because, as we were saying before the break, the notion that there, when one starts from the finite and identifies, and we all seem to have done it seemingly, there's this conditioning of, you know, identification with thoughts and with the body and sensations and a whole package. And it's as if it has had this continuity of experience up until now. That's the game it tries to play. It's like the dream. When you fall asleep at night, I just have to make an example here, and the dream kicks in, the head just hit the pillow 2 seconds ago, and you're out. But the dream, it's like there'll be mountains and trees and this whole thing that took years and years supposedly to develop. Because when did the trees grow? When did the mountains get formed? When did the ocean get there? And yet, boom, it was there in a flash of an instant of sleeping, which in another way of saying kind of ignoring awakeness, really. And it's the exact same thing, even though it seems to be much on a much more, I don't know, intense and kind of vivid level in terms of what this everyday experience seems to be. You know, the average person on the street would swear, don't tell me that there wasn't a this morning in which I got in a car and drove here and did this and did that, which led up to this moment. If you're identified with thoughts and phenomena and sensations, that certainly seems to be the case. We don't deny that. But when you turn it around and it's a matter of coming from pure presence, which is, and there's no phenomena, and there's no physicality, no materiality anywhere, the notion that there was a this morning is just like that dream coming up. The whole thing, it's just a thought right now. I can see, seemingly, an image of a Peter who got in a car and drove over here this morning on 17 coming from Prescott. But actually, from the standpoint of consciousness and presentness, whose awareness this presently is, there's only the awareness that is aware now. And that other claim of a past in which there was a limited world where even transportation was required to get a physical body from here to there, that's all like a dream, and it's all coming up right now only for the first time ever. The whole package is in the thought coming up now. And so to presentness, there's been no prior material or limited or finite realm or world in which there's all these limitations that are going to be dealt with. And so there's nothing to, if it hasn't existed before, then there's nothing to say it has some kind of a foundation or background which is going to continue that way. There really isn't, even though it still might seem that that's the case. But that's where you sort of have to stand your ground. Say, wait a minute, whose life is this presently aware here? It's presence life. And that's just being honest with self's own sort of self-honesty, being honest with its own presentness. There was something else, darn it, I was going to mention, but it's gone from my thought right now. But so as presence, coming from or staying busy as this ease, this lightness, again, that's unlimitedness. And as one abides as this, one cannot simultaneously experience all the limitations that go with finity and history, so-called, and all that. Because in presentness, it's a whole different ballgame. There is no other state besides presentness. You have to be careful to watch thoughts that and say, okay, I'll be presentness for a while, and then my relative experience is really going to spiff up and be real nice and dandy. But that's going right back to the relative again, and right back in thought. And because presentness is having no such thought. It's not waiting for something to improve because there hasn't been anything before now in which anything could have gone wrong. So what could there be to improve? To pure presentness. And again, this is its presence, its life. So, and I admit that, you know, in terms of how it seems, a lot of things we've been taught, just turning it around is, you know, might seem like it's a switch, but please don't take my word for it. Just see if it's consistent and holds up with this so-called natural state, which can't be known or described or conceptualized or really ultimately even put into words. Anybody have anything else? Any other questions or?
I find it really helpful in that my struggle, like everybody is, just to try to keep from thinking incessantly and just going round and round the same thought patterns. But to think about it in those terms of presence as being something that can't be not there. That it's kind of, I don't know, it's, I find it like that might be helpful when I get so frustrated at myself.
Oh, yeah.
With the thinking and trying to stop it. And,
oh, yeah.
To think that there's this presence that doesn't really care. It's there and it can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking about why I have to stop this to experience that. It's a different kind
of. Yeah. Go ahead. Was there anything else? Yeah, those are like ego battles almost. And it's one part of the ego says, so-called, one part of the ego is thinking, is this, chatter that goes, I got to do this, I got to go to the grocery store, I know that guy cut me off on the road, and blah, 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 all these things. And then there's another thought that goes along with that, now that we're quote unquote being spiritual, is this, well, that's not being spiritual, letting that mind chatter away like that. You better get back to presence, buddy boy, or you're not doing a very good job. And it lays the guilt trip on you. But that's just as much ego, too. It's just another sort of phase of it. And as you were saying so beautifully, the fact is that there isn't... The fact that the only presence itself can be presence... And it can't fail. And again, I don't know, you can, you don't have to think a whole lot. You don't have to think anything really, but just kind of be still and notice. Hey, guess what? This is going to be here whether Peter thinks or not. And in fact, no matter what Peter tries to think, one way or the other, presence, you stink, I'm bored with you, get out of here. Please leave me alone today. Will you please leave me alone, presence? Did it do anything? Not very effective, So it just kind of points out that it is an ease. And it's make it always about presence and what it is to itself, and not don't let their thinking set up the middleman, me, who's got a, well, I'm not as clear as I was yesterday, and because that stuff will all just. Is presence clear on how to be presence? I think so, because it's being it right now. It's not a matter of my personal knowing. It's inevitable that we come to spiritual teachings and spiritual practice and we learn stuff. And at first, that stuff is essential. It's very necessary to get, first to see that there's a me that's greater than the thoughts and the finite and the thinking and all of that sort of egoic story. But the story can change is like, as Eckhart says, that, you know, the story, first it can be about what was assumed to be a physical body me, a separate self, and identification with thoughts and all that. But then sometimes it can shift to, oh, now there's the spiritual me. But it's still a story. You know, and so coming from presence, there's no middleman. In terms of what presence is to itself, there's no middleman there. So, yeah, that's, I mean, that alone is a fantastic. And the only one that could see that awareness or presence already is at itself is presence itself. A state of Peter thinking couldn't. I mean, a state of Peter thinking can put that into words now, but can't be it. Anything else? Amy? Anything? No? Yeah. Okay. Why don't we just be quiet for a couple of minutes and close out that way. I feel like we're kind of complete for now. Okay.